Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Of course, you can go there and check out other programs that we've done here on the program, on the radio. So if you've missed a show, you can certainly pick it up there. Veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm ready for the work week and, you know, getting right back after it. So looking forward to it. Got a great show lined up today once again. Melody Wilkes, health coach, with us on the show as well, as always.
Hello.
Good morning to you. And, of course, we're going to be talking holy cow beef. I take it with Weldon?
Yes, we are. We've got Weldon Warren here in the studio with us today. We're kind of continuing our pattern here of talking ag / food / health and any local producers we can get in here to educate us. And also, you know, we can help support them, promote them.
Yeah.
You know, the more demand we can get from the general public for real food that's nutrient dense and high quality, you know, the better for the producer, obviously. So it's a win-win for everybody. When my patients are able to access food that has a lot of good, high-quality nutrients in it, then they get well, and my job gets easier. And it's hard for people to imagine that all this disease and all these, you know, this epidemic of disease really that we're seeing can really be from diet and lifestyle.
I mean, yeah.
It's clear, very clear in the literature that's what it's from. We've talked about that at nauseam, I believe. So there's no debate there. It's diet and lifestyle that's at the root of all these different symptoms and diseases that our kids are suffering from and adults are suffering from. And it doesn't need to be that way. So a lot can get done when you give the body what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. And part of what the body needs is nutrients, vitamins, minerals, proteins, good fats, all the phytonutrients that are found in the plants. Unfortunately, the food started being changed probably in the 1940s. They started adding iron to the food. Eisenhower had his heart attack in the 50s, and Ansel Keys and his hypothesis on saturated fat and cholesterol, dietary cholesterol causing heart attacks was proposed and accepted by everybody. Now it's clear that that was not an accurate theory. The science is clear on that. You know, statins lower cholesterol for sure in your blood, but it does not translate to decreased heart attack and stroke, unfortunately, and it does translate to tons of potential side effects. So getting to the very root cause of not only heart disease, but all these inflammation-based diseases is what we try to do, and it turns out it's because we started eating food that is nutrient-depleted. Our farming techniques changed. You know, food producers are paid by the pound, basically, so their whole goal is how can I grow more of whatever, heavier and more, whether that be milk or beef or wheat and soybean, and you know, we get corn, we get paid by the pound instead of paid by how many nutrients are in the food and how beneficial is it for the consumer, how beneficial is it for their health. We don't get paid like that. So we reap what we sow. But there are some folks who have come to understand that what goes in your mouth does matter for your health. Weldon Warren is one of those folks. And so, Weldon, welcome to the show. Thank you for, I know you're a busy, busy man doing what you do to produce high quality food for us West Texas folk and beyond. So thank you for joining us.
Good morning. You're welcome. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Well, I'd like to start, if you don't mind, with just kind of telling the audience your personal story that got you from where you were, wherever that was, where you came from to where you are today, because you are, I'd say, the odd duck out there as far as West Texas ranchers go and producers of food. You're doing something very, very beneficial for our patients and for the public, but most people aren't doing what you do. So tell us kind of how you got from where you are to where you are now.
Well, it's interesting, the story excuse me, you just shared. Sounded like you were telling my story. I was graduated from Tech with a degree in finance, got a master's in finance, and did what Mike Ivey does. I was a money manager in the Metroplex, and 2001 came along, and basically closed our business with all the financial uncertainty. Money was moved to safety, and we just weren't going to be able to keep our doors open. So during that time of stress of 9/11, we weren't eating healthily. We were on a fast track. You think if you have a big home and you're making money, you're doing well, you're living the good life. But God had other plans for us. So I was walking up the stairs of our home. That's where my office was. And got about three steps up, and I could feel the effects of a stroke happening. When I was at Tech, before I went into finance, I was actually a pre-med major and worked at Methodist Hospital in the intensive ICU and coronary ICU. So I saw some of this and so recognized what was happening. And so I had an Apollo 13 moment of, I think we'd say hollering, hollered out to my wife and said, honey, we have a problem.
Now, can I interrupt you for a second? Prior to this, were you having any problems? Were you overweight? Any indication that you were in an unhealthy state?
Looking back, we were living an unhealthy lifestyle, but I was probably only 10 pounds overweight, but pretty stressed in today's society. Being a money manager, you know, you're dealing with people's money and all that that involves.
That would stress me out.
But that was our life, and that's what I'd signed up for. So, but we weren't eating healthy. We were eating the standard American diet, quite a bit of fast food, the cheapest I could find. I mean, I was of that mindset, convenience, and it all caught up with me. And so she came to the stairs and sort of helped me walk back down. And to show you how indoctrinated we are, and somewhat addicted chemically to the foods that we're currently eating, only in the U.S. for the most part. We hop in the car, and we'd already called the Denton Hospital, and the ER knew we were coming, and we stopped at a Burger King to get a Whopper because, you know, it's going to be hours before we get a chance to eat.
That's so... Oh, my gosh.
And so...
I'm sorry to laugh, but that's just...
It's just a mindset. Hey, I got to stop. Fast food.
Wow.
So we did... I had a Whopper on the way to the hospital. Wow. Of course, my triglycerides were off the chart when they did the blood work.
Oh, wow.
And it's so...
You didn't admit this.
Yeah.
On air.
Yeah, so... We were there for several days, 3 days. And so he came back with the MRI or the scan and showed me where the stroke was. And it wasn't a severe stroke, but, you know, it affected. I still have a little residual in the tips of my left fingers, left hand and thumb, and the tip of my tongue. But I recovered other than that. So we have the stroke, and it's a we. It's not an I had a stroke. When you're in a family, it's the whole family. And we had four young kids that were a part of that. And so you really have that epiphany. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? We knew what we were doing wrong, but we just weren't willing to change our lifestyle.
Yeah.
So God had already begun to put material in front of me from reading. I'm a pretty avid reader. So I'd already read about grass-fed, and I just thought of my granddad. I thought, this isn't complicated. It's a pretty low barrier to entry, you know, to get in there and start living this way. And yet we needed a push. So even though he had been kind of nudging me, that is God, the stroke was the slap. He just said, okay, I've really got to get your attention. I really want you to be over here, not where you are today. And so thankfully he had pity on me, and it wasn't, we didn't have any severe long-term effects. So we sold our home in Highland Village, tried to come back to West Texas to start our business, but my dad and brother are very indoctrinated into Texas Tech Ag, and I just wanted two pivots to put grass on for cattle. And that didn't work out. Since I was a major in finance and my brother was had a degree in ag, I didn't know enough about raising cattle to do that, according to him. Sorry, Martin. So anyway, we ended up leasing a ranch in Graham, really closer to Possum Kingdom, and that's where we started. So our first year, we ate one animal because my granddad did it this way, but that was too long ago for me to really remember how to do it. We mentored under a family. Their business name is Burgundy Beef in Fort Worth. They're actually in Grandview, but they service the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we spent about 2 weeks with them just, how are you doing all this? And to be honest, it's really pretty simple. You put cattle out on green forage. You don't give them antibiotics. You don't have to supplement with growth hormones. You try to be as natural as possible in the way you do your fly control, pest control, worm control. And there's products out there that help you do that naturally. And since cattle love to eat grass, It's interesting that the world's mostly water. What part of the world is land is mostly grass. So to actually row crop, it takes a lot of big equipment. But to just do things the way God really intended us to do it, all you do is kind of like get the cattle and turn them out. And they go eat anything that's green. And it's the green, the protein, you know, the chlorophyll, the chloroplasts that make chlorophyll green, that is the essence of what, it's the magic of what cattle do. They can break down that cellulose. They have a complicated rumen system that we can't break down. Yet so many of our calories from the sun to the earth, we can't consume. But cattle and sheep and hogs and goats can do that. And then they nourish us when we consume them. So it was a slow process. I was told by family that it would be tough and gamey and yellow fat, extremely yellow fat. And that just didn't turn out to be the case. If you cook it right, there's a little bit of a learning curve on cooking it. But if you cook it right, it's tender, it's juicy, all the enzymes are there that you need. So we had one animal our first year. And of course, we had begun to raise our own chickens. So they were free range chickens, and we were eating the eggs, the chickens, rabbits, our own dairy. We bought a Jersey cow that was burned out from the dairy farm at 5 years old. They said she wasn't productive anymore. She produced 5 gallons a day for us for the next 7 years, raised 30 calves. Because we would adopt, we would, you know, go to a sell barn and buy one and put her on them. If you have calves on your dairy cow, then you don't have to milk every day. Mm-hmm. And so you can go away to a stock show on the weekends. And so, but we'd get our gallon whenever we needed it, and then the calves got all the rest. She was the most productive animal we have ever had. So, anyway.
I bet Bessie. She was glad to leave that place and go to
talk
y'all.
About a, well, I'll let you continue, but the dairy's a whole different subject. I don't know if we'll be able to get in today, but to kick a cow out at 5 years old to say she's done.
Yeah.
It's just not good stewardship, I would say.
Oh, it's not.
But go ahead with
that. Well, what was the name of the, real quick on a text, what was the name of the company that services Fort Worth?
Well, Holy Cow Beef Services.
Fort Worth. Y'all do now. Okay.
Oh, yes, we do. But Burgundy Beef, John and Wendy Taggart are good friends of ours, very good people. And so they're available in the Metroplex. But Holy Cow Beef also delivers, and we kind of compete. They kind of took the upper end of the market, if you want to call it that. Our whole motive from the day we started is we wanted our price point to be available to most people rather than trying to price it as a really, really niche market.
It's kind of like Akaushi is or something.
Yeah, the Wagyu and all that.
Yeah, all the real high-end beef that
and
they do.
We were a homeschooling family. We wanted our product to be able to be affordable to large families.
Right.
They deserve to eat well. It's difficult on them, you know, when you have 7 or 8 or 9 kids.
Yeah.
And so we're priced in the lower quadrant of our competitors, the lower fourth quarter of that in Dallas-Fort Worth. But Burgundy Beef, they're very good. And so they mentored us and helped us. And then really all my granddad's history came back to me. So that's what I, you know, will share with you now is that as we began to look at our past, you know, what did we do wrong? Well, we just followed the traditional American model. Save as much money every time you can. If they'll put something on sale as it's expiring in its nutritional value, go stock
what
up on it.
What a great deal. Yeah, let's load it up.
It's only pennies per pound, but it's not worth anything. We were just blind to that. But it didn't take us long to start waking up to how to do that better.
What do you say, like, because you can go to Walmart and they've got an organic grass-fed beef. Do you know anything about what would be the difference between that?
Are you sure it's organic and,
like, and
grass-fed? We call that fake grass-fed.
Okay.
That's another topic.
Yeah, the labeling of grass-fed we'll have to get into, because grass-finished, grass-fed, did they just have a little grass for a day and you can call it grass-fed? I mean, there's a lot of nuance.
Well, the short story on that is Obama's administration, specifically Vilsack, who is an executive with Monsanto. There is no conflict of interest there. But they did away with the grass-fed label. They said all cattle eat grass at some point in their life. Therefore, all beef can be labeled grass-fed. And grass-fed hit Walmart, Sam's, everywhere.
Yeah.
January 1st of 2016, our business dropped about 30% because it was everywhere. But it wasn't the real thing. The last 90 days is the most important period. And so if you're corn finishing what was originally grass-fed, if you're corn finishing, you're losing something close to 80% of about five key nutrients in those 90 days. Vitamin E, conjugated linoleic acid, omega-3s begin to drop. And so you're losing your nutritional profile. And so there's all kinds of hanky-panky going on with grain-fed being labeled grass-fed. Literally, I can go back up my Peterbilt to Cactus Feed Yards, pick up a load, take it to cabinets, have it processed, and have a grass-fed label put on it. So, but that we might go into that more later Dr. Ben would like to. But anyway, so that's how we got started. And where was I?
You were talking about you want to keep your price point low. You were homeschooling. You had the chickens and the Jersey cow. And you were, and then your grandfather's way of doing things started coming back to you.
Yeah.
So you just kind of went
very
and kept going from there.
I wish I had that memory.
He's listening.
So in reflecting on that, my granddad, and I'll just go into that story. You know, he lived basically on 320 acres most of his farming life. They laid out a quarter of the land fallow. And then they rotated that in the sense so that every 4 years, all the land had been fallow at some point. They really only had one cash crop in his early farming career, and the rest was used by the animals. So he produced his own food. So I like to say my granddad, right out here south of New Home, you know, lived off the farm. They lived on the farm, but lived off the farm. We had roughly an acre garden. We had a small orchard, multiple apple trees, all kinds of fruit trees. Had our own little vineyard. My grandmother did.
Sounds like heaven.
We grew.
Sounds awesome.
Well, when you're the little kid having to do the work, you don't think
it is. No, I bet not.
But they were growing raspberries and blackberries.
Oh my gosh.
And they just produced most of their own food. And my granddad, I'll use him specifically, he died at the age of 96. Shortly before that, he had a wreck in Lubbock, and his eyes were getting worse, and his hearing was decreasing. And he just went home one day and went to bed that night without eating dinner. The next morning, he didn't eat breakfast. We had someone who came in and cooked meals. Their family had worked for us their whole lives. And so she called my dad and said, okay, your dad is up to something. So my dad went over to the house, and my granddad was kind of comatose. And so they called and they got him plugged in, so to speak, turned on the juices with a little IV.
Mm-hmm.
And got all the kids around. This is a short story, but got all the kids around and said, okay, Dad, what are you wanting to do? And he said, look, I'm not going to be able to drive anymore. I'm losing my hearing. He said, I'm just not going to go to a nursing home. So this is the way I want to go. Just in my own bed. I don't want to eat anymore. And just, you know, I've had a good life, and I don't want to be a burden. He's just that old-time type of guy that wanted to go out with dignity and have a good quality of life right up until he did. And so they all agreed, and 3 days later, he passed.
Wow.
Well, that's how you'd want to do it, in your own bed, on your own farm that you lived on your whole life.
And I like to say that he was never on a prescription. I don't know his early days in Mississippi, but in West Texas, he just wasn't ever sick. He had one car wreck coming home from church, broke a rib, and the next morning the nurse went in to check on him, and he had already checked himself out. They tape up your chest and you go home. He said, I've got work to do. I'm not going to just hang around in a hospital.
Wow.
So that's the only day that I know of that he was in the hospital. Kids, grandkids browse. And so I was in his medicine cabinet often. And the only thing I found in his medicine cabinet was aspirin. There wasn't Lipitor and statins and all the stuff we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the food he grew and raised nourished him. And like Ben said earlier, if you give the body nutrient-dense foods, it does everything else for you. So he lived a simple life, but in reality, a very smart life. He just he controlled what he was eating, and it served him well. So you fast forward to my dad. He was a little bit smarter. He went to Tech, got a degree in ag, and moved us to town. That was my mom's request. We started eating more convenience foods, fast foods, and our health started declining, especially theirs, because now they're in their 50s and 60s, and then, you know, they get older. My dad had 2 sextuplet bypasses just from clogging.
Mm.
All 6 arteries on the heart, they bypassed. 10 years later, they had to bypass them again because they're not filled up again. By then, we were in the grass-fed business, and I said, you know, Dad, I think I have an answer to this if you'll just eat this way. And he goes, nope, not going to do it. No one in my extended family, they've all dabbled with it a little, not all but some, but no one in our family really eats this way, our extended family. And so it's unfortunate because they're the ones that you see often and you want them to be healthy. So my dad and my mom's health declined in their 60s. And they passed away 10 years younger than my granddad. And then I had my stroke at 45. And so then you look at that.
45, that's young.
On a timeline and say, it's just all compounding and getting worse and worse. Thankfully, God let me survive that for the passion that we now have, kind of the ministry we have to try to reach out to people. So what we tell people is we just say, help us help you live a healthier lifestyle. We're here, but you gotta let us help you. And we're pretty experienced in coaching and working with people like Veritas and Dr. Ben to help people down that health journey.
There is one restaurant in town that's carrying your beef, correct or no?
Well, there are several. Well, I'm gonna go back to one thing. I had that 50% blockage in both carotids and most of the arteries on the heart. They didn't define each one. They just said you've got severe blockage. So after eating this way while we were just leaving Graham to come to Lubbock, we did another scan, and I had 0 blockage. So that was proof to us that what we believed would happen had happened. Without taking Lipitor, at the Denton Hospital, the doctor prescribed Lipitor, a statin, Coumadin, a couple other things.
So you can't eat beef without getting clogged arteries.
Now, the only beef that clogs your arteries is grain-fed beef.
Yeah.
Naturally finished beef, whether they're on grass or tree leaves or weeds. Do you know that weeds have the highest protein of any forage that our cattle graze?
Really?
And God gave them to us naturally, and we don't have to pay for them. In fact,
they're pretty darn
awesome.
Hardy.
They don't need water.
Drought resistant.
Sand burn resistant. The sand blows out your wheat or your oats, but it doesn't blow out the careless weed and the tumbleweed. And so the local neighbors around me aren't particularly happy that my cattle graze weeds because they want to spray them. You know, they've actually said, can't you spray those weeds?
Nope.
And it's like, man, that's free food. Mm-hmm. And it's the best food. Wheat's at 21% protein. Alfalfa's about 24. And the careless weed and the tumbleweed are at 26% protein.
Wow.
It's just God's gift to us. And our earth is covered with weeds.
Yeah.
If it's not, and then the rest, it's not in weeds. If you have improved pastures, it's grasses that they can graze. So grass-fed isn't difficult. It's time-consuming. We rotate. We move cattle often from one pasture to the other. But it is not complicated. So
Well, I think we're up for a break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about both the business side of it, how a young farmer might could get into this, or an old farmer could switch over to this, but also about some more of the health benefits of grass-fed beef, grass-finished beef. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Sprayed glyphosate from neighboring land from blowing in on your property with all the West Texas wind? And is your beef in stores in the Metroplex area, specifically Arlington and Mansfield?
To answer the second question first, we make home deliveries in every suburb of Dallas-Fort Worth, including Dallas-Fort Worth. So, yes, we go to Mansfield, Midlothian, Waxahachie, all that area, all the way up north to Frisco and Denton. So we're there for multiple days each month. In fact, we're coming in about four more days. Well, we're starting next Sunday, so it's a week away that we'll be there to Dallas-Fort Worth. So to answer the first question, we cannot keep the glyphosate that's airborne from the particles settling in our farm, but it's going to be a minute part. We do the best we can, but glyphosate's in our water, it's in our soil, it's in the air, and we're breathing it. It's found in organic animals today. Organic foods still have trace amounts of glyphosate in it. Monsanto's basically polluted, you know, farm country with glyphosate.
One study I read, 70% of the rainwater that they tested had glyphosate, which glyphosate's the main ingredient in Roundup for those that are new to the show and haven't. We've talked about glyphosate a lot. It's not beneficial to our health, but like Weldon said, it's, I'd say, impossible to, unless you get out in a very remote, remote area, it's pretty much impossible to avoid glyphosate.
But you, on the delivery side, what would they do? Just go to your website, I guess, and put that information out where someone could go to get on the delivery schedule, if you will. How would they do that?
They just go to holycowbeef.com. It'll show our delivery schedule. There's an order form. They can place an order. Most people call us so that we can interact personally with them. We'll explain how we do business. We're a very much a mom-and-pop, kind of like the old dairy milkman. You know, just we want to talk to you, visit with you, understand what's going on. We can make recommendations such as Veritas. We do all that all the time. That's our calling, is to try to connect people to healthy eating venues, you know, how to source all this health protocol properly.
Okay, good.
I kind of want to touch some, you know, I hope everyone heard when Weldon said he had 0% blockage after when he had his stroke. He had 50% blockage in his carotids and multiple blockages in his coronaries. And then he did not go with the standard conventional treatment protocol for that, which would have been statins, basically. He changed his lifestyle and diet. And that's another point I was going to make. Your diet obviously shifted with grass-fed beef being a big part of that. The blockages ended up going away. But I also imagine the lifestyle from a pretty high-stress finance manager to country living, getting back to living how your granddad used to live. I imagine your stress level, although in some ways it can be stressful when you're in the ag world, for sure. But how would you rate your stress when you lived in Highland Village managing money to when you lived out near Possum Kingdom managing the land?
Well, there's nothing more de-stressing than to be looking at your cattle that we had literally grazing on the shores of the west side of Possum Kingdom. So the sun comes up, you see a good sunrise, and Black Angus cattle are out in the grasses with the water just beyond them. Mm-hmm. Or in the evening, the sun is setting. It's very hilly in Possum Kingdom. And so the sun is setting behind one of the hills and the cattle are grazing. And so there's stress in managing cattle, but it's a different kind of stress than being on US 75 and just wondering if you're going to get home alive. Mm-hmm. Driving and managing money it's a different kind of stress. The heart rate is accelerated. I might be a little worried day to day just on what's my itinerary, my to-do list, mm-hmm. And not letting it become an idol, just that to-do list.
Right.
But in the Metroplex, just staying alive is stressful.
Yeah.
So driving
so the stress came down quite a bit, but obviously the diet changed a bunch. The blockage went away. Some of the health benefits of grass-fed I want to get into. And one fat we haven't talked about much on the show, most of our listeners may not have even heard of, conjugated linoleic acid, but it's a very important and powerful and healthy polyunsaturated fat that's found in grass-fed beef, much more so than grain-fed beef. Ground rule for how much red meat you can consume. That's an old way of thinking. If you're going to consume adulterated, man-influenced, corrupted, nutrient-depleted, omega-6-rich grain-fed beef, then I would highly limit you, which is what some of the studies will show. But when you're going to eat beef the way God intended it, meaning the cow was eating what he intended it to eat, not be finished with corn or soy or whatever they feed at a feedlot. I want to get back to the 3-6. We need omega-6 and we need omega-3, but there's a ratio that's most beneficial to human beings, and that's about a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio, omega-6 to omega-3. The average American is eating about a 20 or 30 to 1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3, way, way, way more pro-inflammatory fat than anti-inflammatory fat. So just another reason to get off the grain-fed beef is because it's high in omega-6. People I think are pretty well trained now in America to think of salmon when you want to get your omega-3s in, which is okay if it's wild-caught. But if you get a good grass-fed beef, and when I say good, I mean it was eating green grass, it had a good diet, and it was processed the right way, and it wasn't finished on grain at all. You're going to have as much as or even more. Some studies show more omega-3, like in a grass-fed roast, than in salmon. So this whole mindset that you got to avoid red meat, red meat's the devil, basically, and it's going to cause you to die early and have cancer and heart attack and all that. That's not accurate, or it may be if you're talking about the wrong kind of red meat. If you're talking about man-influenced, grain-fed red meat. So the omega-3s are there. The conjugated linoleic acids are there. You've got the precursors to your antioxidants, vitamin A, vitamin E, powerful antioxidants. Even some anti-cancer precursors are found in the grass-fed beef. And like we've talked about before, when you eat fat, it makes you feel full. It not only does it taste good, but it gives you satiety. It gives you that full feeling, as opposed to eating too much carb where you're hungry in 2 hours. So from a weight loss perspective, insulin resistance, diabetic, that whole cascade of events that can happen when you eat a lot of carb, that's just an added benefit when you eat grass-fed beef. And then, there's the whole, this is a little less about health, but just the environmental part. You kind of mentioned the sun's energy to chlorophyll. The animals break the chlorophyll down, turn the sun's energy via the chlorophyll in the plant into energy that we can consume. So even if you want to come at it from an environmentalist kind of standpoint of what's the best thing for the environment, when you want to talk about sequestration of carbon, you know, all this excess carbon. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot that, I mean, every environmentalist in the world would be pushing this mob grazing technique where you put a lot of cows on a small amount of acreage and you rotate them relatively quickly. That process causes the carbon to be sequestered, I think, better than any other process known to man, or anything that we could come up with.
Very efficient.
Could you speak to that a little bit, Weldon, about, because I think, do you do some high-intensity grazing? I mean, that's a more subset of grass-fed, but...
Well, I'll let the listeners decide. Out here in West Texas, on our native grasses, we can run about one cow for every 40 acres year-round. And what we did this last year in Linn County on both oats and then Sudan, a specific variety of hay grazer that hasn't been hybridized. So it doesn't develop prussic acid and nitrate poisoning because it's the original, one of the original varieties of hay grazer, Sudan. Yeah. We ran 200, 1,100 pound animals for 6 months on 320 acres, moving them around in 40 acre tracks on those 320 acres. Ever so many days they got moved, you know, every 2 weeks or so they were moved. Mm-hmm. And so we ran 200 animals that weighed 1,100 pounds for 6 months versus one cow for every 40 acres of just open native grass grazing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very efficient in carbon sequestration versus the feedlot, the manure runoff, you know, they do have their pits, so they collect their water, but it's just a very inefficient system. Mm-hmm. On that whole system, Ben, this whole thing, our biggest competitor aren't other grass-fed beef producers. It's our own U.S. government. Our government subsidizes corn and soy, so the farmers, it's just such a strange supply-demand situation because the government's involved. Monsanto develops hybrids that will grow more and more yield with less water, less soil. Pretty soon you're just going to grow it in your own refrigerator. You know, it's just because you don't even have to have sun, water, anything based on their GMO. Right. But right now we're growing too much soy, too much corn. It suppresses the price so the food industry can buy it cheap. The feedlot industry buys it cheap. Mm-hmm. But the farmer can't make a living at that cheap price, so the government taxpayer has to subsidize them.
Yeah.
So we subsidize the farmer to oversupply the market to the benefit of feedlots and big ag food companies. And then the public who's paid for that subsidization suffers the health benefits, the health decline.
And then you got to run to your doctor who's going to give you a pharmaceutical to treat the symptom, but it's not going to actually help you fix the problem.
It is a weird, only the U.S. does this. Europe is a good example, spends twice their monthly budget on good quality food. It's mostly local. They go to the market and pick it up every 3 days or so, and they're healthy. We're the most unhealthy country. We're addicted to chemicals that are in our foods. Food companies don't have chefs on staff. They have chemists. They're mimicking nature with a synthetic molecule. MSG is the best example. It occurs in all plants. God put it there to give it flavor, and the scientists can synthesize MSG, and now our taste buds are supercharged to this really strong MSG flavoring that's in all of our foods. And soy's the same way. Soy's in everything. High fructose corn syrup or refined sugar, it's in everything.
Yeah. Food dyes are
soybean oil, soy lectin. I mean, lecithin.
Oh yeah, that's everything.
I had a caller one time on this show said, well, you know, these farmers are feeding the world with the corn and the soy and the wheat. And I said, well, those are the three things that I tell all my patients, stop eating in order to get healthy. And that's the irony of it. The things we're subsidizing are actually the things driving inflammation.
You wonder if that's intentional or not.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
So, well, I have a quick thought in that someone asked earlier, we at the break, I had begun to turn my health around probably eating 50% of my calories on a healthy basis. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. We can't do this just overnight. So while we were living in the Possum Kingdom area, we were only eating about 50% of our foods that were healthy. We were still, I won't say what we were still eating, but once we had moved to Lubbock, what we then focused on was getting off modern wheat, getting off refined sugar and high fructose corn syrup. if there's more than four ingredients on the label in there, and if we don't recognize any of those names, we just don't buy it. Mm-hmm. There might be more than four, but it might be coconut flour, almond flour, mm-hmm. good things.
Yeah.
But those products weren't available 18 years ago.
Right.
But the market has addressed that need now.
Right.
And so now we're probably eating 90% healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's not about being perfect. It's not like you have to go dump your whole pantry immediately. You can choose one thing. You know, butter's another great example.
Oh,
grass-fed
so
butter is so beneficial for your health. And if that's all you did next time you went to the grocery store, instead of getting, I can't believe it's not butter, like I used to get. I used to, and I've repented for this publicly. But
even
my
roaches
wife,
don't want to eat.
When we were first married.
Country crock.
Yeah. That's, I used to buy country crock. I can't believe it's not healthier than butter. All those different things. Chemical mimics of butter. And when I was first married, between my second and third year of med school, living in Houston, Jamie was from a ranch and family, and of course they ate whole milk and butter on everything and cream. And she came to Houston, and I was trying to tell her, no, we can't be eating like that. It's got to be skim milk, and mm-hmm. it's got to be healthy choice butter. I can't believe it's not butter. And you know, no way are we going to get cream ever.
So bad.
I mean, one of the first meals she made me was chili and cornbread, and I was studying in the other room in my apartment, and she called me to supper, and I came out of that bedroom, looked across the living room to the kitchen. I saw this thick layer of, I thought it was icing on the cornbread. I thought, man, who did I marry? They put icing on their cornbread, and it was all butter. I mean, just pure butter.
Yeah,
so
I make bread so I can have butter.
You've repented.
I have repented.
But I'll make a quick plug. Field of Dreams, when we get their raw milk delivery to our home, and it has settled for a day, the top quarter of the gallon has separated, and that's your heavier cream. Mm-hmm. If you shake that up and you just, don't tell my wife, drink straight from the jug, it is liquid ice cream.
Yeah.
It is the best stuff ever. It is pure grass fed, but it's all from Jersey milk, so it has that really high butterfat content mm-hmm. that is so good for you and tastes so good.
Yeah,
I love it, but boy, I was drinking a lot of that, and I noticed
the
weight gain
farms.
Because if you drink too much, it'll put the weight on you. It's designed to do that.
Right. So well, just drink a half a glass a day.
Yeah, but I can't. It's like I got
to say no to him.
I got to drink like 16 ounces of the stuff because you can't stop. It tastes so good.
Yeah, you can put that cream in your coffee.
I mean, it's way over the top.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because it's so good.
Well, and you're driving home the point of the way God made food with this healthy fat in it, it will taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you take that fat out, because Ansel Keys told us that fat in the diet causes heart attacks, and that's a whole other story we've, I think, addressed enough before. So they took the fat out of our diet. Well, then no one's going to eat it because it doesn't taste good without fat. Mm-hmm. So then you got to add in the flavor enhancers, the MSG, the sugar, the salt, all the stuff. That is not beneficial for us. And I say salt, meaning table salt. Now, real salt with all the minerals is very beneficial for you. So, Weldon, in the little bit of time we have left, we can talk about whatever you want, but I like to always encourage these young farmers. What would you have to say to them from the standpoint of how's the market in West Texas? How, you know, the farmers markets, are they growing? You know, how do you get your beef out there? I know you're in Whole Foods, which kind of surprised Melody mm-hmm. at the top of the show. Is there a way to make this work from a business mindset? I mean, when you talk about running 200 big old cows on 300-ish acres, I mean, that's going to blow these ranchers' minds. They could barely run 25 cows on a whole section, you know, in the old way of thinking. So speak to that, if you would, a little bit, to encourage these farmers to think outside the box and do something different.
Well, we visit with probably four or five row crop farmers a year who have just given up. They're selling their equipment, and they're wanting to repurpose their land. And it's just a process we go through with them that it takes a while. You're not going to want to have government intervention on that, but the one group that's very helpful is the NRCS. They'll come out, do a soil study, tell you what your forage is that might be available for that. But they just have to start. It's not an easy lifestyle in the sense of making big money, but it's a wonderful lifestyle in the sense that my wife and I spend a lot of time in our kitchen. We slow down and eat our meals. We chew our food 20 times. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ben promotes that. We get more nutrition out of what we chew and eat. And so part of our lifestyle is living in our home and working there and interacting with our customers. You have to make a living. But when you cut out all the extras that mm-hmm. we're so used to, it's mm-hmm. not that hard to make a living mm-hmm. doing this. And there are more of them coming. The farmers markets are getting better. Midland, Amarillo, all around us, they have some great farmers markets. And they're doing it in spite of living in glyphosate country. Mm-hmm. And so just if they call me, well, I'll have that same conversation I've had with 20 other farmers out here that are – there's just a few more every year that are producing vegetables. Mm-hmm. They're producing cattle. They're producing pigs. We have a tilapia farmer now.
Yeah. And he's making wonderful. Great tilapia. We're going to have to get him on the show maybe soon.
Yeah. Jeff Gray is wonderful. It's the cleanest tilapia we've ever eaten. And that's just the byproduct. The produce he's growing, that he leaves the root on so it continues to hold its nutrient value mm-hmm. instead of cutting that off. Yeah. The American consumer drove all this, a lot of this. They wanted the perfect white kitchen, white flour, white sugar, mm-hmm. cut the root off all the produce because it looks better, mm-hmm. and then it begins to deplete nutritional value.
Right.
So Jeff knows how to do that. He's doing it aquaponically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it's an amazing greenhouse down there in Seminole, Jeff Gray.
I'd like to go visit that. I think that'd be fun.
Can you talk a little bit more about your particular operation? I know you mentioned the Sudan grass and that 300-plus acres, but do you co-op with other ranchers? Or,
yes, sir.
Talk a little bit about
that. And we have our plains section, so there are 640 acres out there. But we're more now a finisher. Our cow-calf operation is in Corsicana. It's wonderful having a big rumen that develops over there in East Texas on a lot of watery grass. Those calves come to West Texas where you have strong grasses that are shorter, smaller in volume. But we averaged 3.57 pounds per day last year on our calves that came from East Texas to West Texas. And they were grazing wheat and oats mm-hmm. and not a feedlot. They were out in the pasture, but gained 3.57 pounds. So we do lease a lot of wheat grazing mm-hmm. because that's a particularly good time of grazing for us. Mm-hmm. But we partner with Rob A. and Tally Brown out of Stinnett. It's part of the R.A. Brown Ranch family, mm-hmm. Spade Ranch here, Nikki Good and Lamisa, Kyle Stevens over in Plains. When they have open heifers that can't be a part of their breeding program. They're already 1,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. They were never given antibiotics or hormones. These guys all practice natural ranching. Mm-hmm. And so we can buy them from them and put them into our system. Right. So we're kind of a co-op. It's not a co-op, but an alliance mm-hmm. of producers. They're all natural. We're natural. And we're taking what is a cull to them, and the market discounts them huge mm-hmm. because it's too big of an animal to do well in a feedlot, so the feeder can't make money. We can pay them a 25% premium to mm-hmm. what they can get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So they're happy. We're happy with the animal we're getting, and our consumers are happy. And by the way, that 3- and 4-year-old is the best-eating animal. We keep that open heifer for a while. Mm-hmm. And anyway, Whole Foods gets all our young animals. It's not developed the muscle structure. It doesn't have the depth of flavor. Then you go over to our 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds that our retail market gets that y'all have had before. That has the best flavor profile.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. When you go to cook it, like cooking one of your steaks on the grill versus one that you get at the grocery store, what do you do differently?
It is less marbled. Grass-fed is less marbled. It'll have the marbling cell there. It's just not as full as the grain-fed animal. So it cooks more quickly. So you have to
watch it.
We just cook ours to eat medium rare. Mm-hmm. And resting is the most important time period in the whole cooking process. You need to let those fats render, that marbling render.
What do you mean rest? You take it off the grill and let it sit there for a little bit?
We take an 1.25-inch thick steak and we cook it 5 minutes on each side. And our grill's as hot as it'll get, let's say 800 degrees. So 5 minutes on each side, and it's not medium rare yet. It's still pretty rare. And we let it rest 7 to 8 minutes. resting means just sitting on the plate, and that's when you put on your vegetables and your salad and get your water or your tea.
Okay.
Finish setting the table.
Do you cover it? Or you just...
No. You okay. could, but that's going to keep it... You're letting it cool down and rest.
Okay.
And that's the most important part of finishing a steak. And it continues, as long as there's heat in there, it continues to cook. So don't take your knife when it's on the grill and open it up. You've just let all that heat out. And then that part won't finish cooking. 5 to 6 minutes on each side. Let it rest for 7 to 8 minutes, and it'll be perfectly medium rare. And when you cut into it, all that juice and those enzymes are there available for you to digest. And when you're cutting through that, that's not blood. Ben knows that. It's myoglobin. Once blood leaves the capillary walls, it's cellular fluid, so it's myoglobin. And it's just delivering nutrients to the muscle and the muscles, you know, the enzymes, all that. So it's just all healthy for you.
Mm. Along those lines, talk about, because I've heard you say this before, like a roast. You know, your meat will come packaged, vacuum sealed or something.
Correct.
So you get that roast out of the freezer, let it sit in its own juices. Talk about that.
We take a roast out 2 days before we're going to eat it. We always have a roast and a pack of steaks in the refrigerator thawing all the time because we eat this way all the time. Mm-hmm. But for the family that doesn't eat that way all the time, they just set it out on the counter, let it thaw naturally from that hard frozen state, then eventually put it in the refrigerator. It'll finish thawing in the refrigerator. And then whenever you're ready to eat it, we do a crock pot. Our favorite by far meal is a chuck roast with all the vegetables in the crock pot. We put a dark beer in it. I'll plug Shiner Bock. It's a really good flavor profile. The alcohol burns off. You dress it up the way you want to. We will put garlic in there, all these different vegetables, onions, carrots, whatever. And, I mean, she's just a wonderful cook. And so then the most important part is we cook it as low as it'll cook on the setting, which is about 250 for a minimum of 8 hours. And it's even more tender at 10 hours. So you put it in the night before for lunch. The next day the night before for lunch, or started that morning for dinner, and you'll have a wonderful meal. And the seconds are better than the first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
Okay. When you reheat it, how are you reheating it?
We will. That's when you'll put it in a pot and put a top on it, so it'll kind of heat it from all 360 at one time. It takes 2 or 3 minutes to reheat.
Yeah, I pretty much quit using my microwave altogether.
I'll use it. Yeah. Our second and third meal is typically with a chuck roast. Is we'll have burritos with chuck roast in it, mm-hmm. a burrito, and just mm-hmm. put, you know, with, we'll have sunflower tortillas now. They're green.
Wow.
Is it sunflower? No, it's pumpkin. Pumpkin mm-hmm. seed.
Where do you get those?
Tortillas. Well, we get them from Azure Standard, but you can also get them at Natural Grocers. It's wonderful for a tortilla or burrito. And then our third meal, mm-hmm. and we just repurpose it any way you want. It's going to be mm-hmm. good.
Wade's ears perk
up. I like that
burrito.
Idea.
Anything that yeah. comes in a burrito, Wade's going to eat it.
Anything in a burrito.
Pumpkin seed, huh?
It's a little bit different than your taco bueno.
No kidding, right?
Yeah. Taco Villa. Always get you mixed
Villa.
Up. You're a Villa guy.
Yeah. So
they probably don't have pumpkin seed.
If you want to look like a chihuahua, just keep eating Taco Villa.
No, well, yeah. Or an elephant.
All right. Well, thank you, Weldon, for coming. Thank you for all you do, for producing high-quality food for us to consume.
Did you make notes of all that over there?
Yeah, that's why I asked him the grilling question.
Okay, so you got all the grilling, all the notes.
Okay. She's
taking care of you,
Wade.
She's taking care of you.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's doing great work in the kitchen, I'll just have to say. But anytime
I make dinner, and then he'll make a pot of macaroni and cheese.
Oh, that's not true.
That is so true.
That is so
true.
Now, my wife would confirm this, that I tell her almost every meal, and for Easter dinner last night, I did tell her again that every time I have a meal of hers, I say, honey, this is probably the best meal I've ever had.
Oh, you're so nice.
It really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, she's such an awesome cook. So our customers avail themselves to her recipes all the time.
Yeah.
Are they on your website, her recipes?
Many of them are.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, thank you, Ann Weldon, mm-hmm. Warren Weldon of Holy Cow Beef. Thanks for all y'all do. Appreciate you being in with us this morning. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
So everybody get on their website, holycowbeef.com.
Pretty simple.
Yep.
Holycowbeef.com.
All right.
Appreciate being here.
You bet.
Thanks, Weldon. Appreciate it. Dr. Ben, we'll see you back here next week right here on You're the Cure.